really on a roll. We're on the Pamud Beis already. We're like two blocks in 20 minutes.
So comes the Gemara in the Pamud Beis. Begins a sugi that we spoke about already a few times. The Gemara opens up with the two dots. Pamud Beis. Itma, if they come and us the law. When you give a get, and you have to say b'fai nech, it's a get mechutz laretz. So you have to say b'fai nech, then how many people have to be present at the time that you're giving the get? So Yechle Rabbi Chanina Chanam Avnei Shnayim Chanam Avnei Shlosha. Why should it be Shlosha? Clearly that has nothing to do with Eidos. So the Gemara explains, you need that Bishum Beis Din. Why exactly do you need a Beis Din at the time to find Nechel from Nechel? So the Gemara explains, if it's based on Kiyum Shtaros, if it's a substitute for Kiyum Shtaros, then it makes a lot of sense that you need a Beis Din, just as you need a Beis Din to be Mekayim as a Shtar, it's a nicer Beis Din. So if you need a Beis Din to be Mekabal, the Eidos of the Shalui, you have to say before Nechel from Nechel. So the Gemara says, Abba Zoya, that's true, so why does anybody say you can get away with two? So the Gemara, after much discussion and many habamim, finally the Gemara concludes that everybody agrees with Ikaron, you really need three, you need a Beis Din of three. The Machlek is this, can the Shaliach turn around and be one of the Dayanim also? Can the Shaliach walk in front of two people and say, the Fana Nech, the Fana Nech, wait 1 second, then he turns around, puts on his long black coat, puts on his England, he puts on his wig, and he stands there, he's now the new the Dayan, and he says, oh, could you just say that again? I didn't hear you clearly. Well, 1 second, he takes off his wig, stands there again, before Nech, good, heard it that time, wonderful, Givaldi, from a Kabbalah of Aedis. So can you place the stump, the Aed Nasadai, and the Aed Nasadai? So the Gemara says, that seems to be the issue. And then the Gemara rejects that also, and for some, another Mahalach. So the Gemara works out all the technical details as to what the machlokes was. Why one time, one Amar says two, one Amar says three. But one thing that's crystal clear from the whole thrust of the Gemara is that you need a Beis Din. Bottom line is you need a Beis Din. What the numbers are going to translate to mean, Lamaisa, two or three, that's a technical issue. But everybody agrees that the Hagodas Eidus of the Shaliach must be before the Beis Din. Again, it makes a lot of sense because the Hagodas Eidus of the Fanei Nechlev is basically a substitute for Kiyum Shtaros. When you read this Gemara, you inevitably walk away with the following conclusion. The only reason why we're discussing the requirement of the Beis Din, the numbers that they are present for a get, is only because of this added dimension of this technical issue of Amiras B'Fanei Nechlev, B'Fanei Nechlev. What if you would have a get that didn't require B'Fanei Nechlev, B'Fanei Nechlev? What if you have a get given in Eretz Yisrael? What if you have a get given the Beis Din Moshe Rabbeinu before Chamul Masachem B'Fanei Nechlev, B'Fanei Nechlev? Is there a need to give a get in front of a Beis Din? Is there a requirement for a Beis Din to be present b'shas tesinus a get? Of course not. Why? Eicha tesin a million years, you have to have a Beis Din present at the time of a get. It's intuitively obvious from this entire sugya that there never was such a halacha. The Gemara is waking up in that Hamid Beis and talking about this unique get which requires the fanechem fanechem. Do you need a Beis Din or not? And the Gemara says, yes, you do. And then how many day on him? Fine. The implication is obvious that a regular get, why no one ever thought it required a Beis Din, which shouldn't surprise us, because why would anybody think it requires a Beis Din? It's not Dini Mamas, it's not Dini Fashas, not Egma Rufa, it's not Kirish HaChaydash, what do you need a Beis Din for? So you walk away from Agamara, that's the obvious conclusion you draw. Even if you didn't quite make it to Agamara, I could have asked you this question last week and you should have told me the same thing. Anyone ever hear from Machlekes or Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Lozer? Anyone been in the year? The last 2 months? Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Lozer? What does Rabbi Meir say, Rabbi say? Eidi Chasim Akar say? What's the simple shot in Rabbi Meir before Ben Atam entered onto the scene? What does Eidi Chasim Akar say mean? You have two Eidim signed to get, and then who's present at the time of the giving the get? No, regular get. No, you're so into a regular get. Nobody's present. Eidi Chasim Akar, according to Rabbi Meir, means you have Eidim signed at the bottom. The Eidus on the bottom fulfill the din of Eidus. It's a Shvir Shtar, it's Dabr Shabiyah, it's the words you name it, they do it. And then you give the get, Pinola Ben Atzma. Who says that? Who says that to Das Rebbe Meir? Everybody except for Rebbe Natam. Rebbe Natam dug up a new idea that even according to Rebbe Meir, you need Eidim Mesirah to be Mekan, din of Dabr Shabiyah. We had kashas on Rebbe Natam, we defended Rebbe Natam, good, but Levaisa, most of the Rishon probably didn't buy into Rebbe Natam. So with Das Rebbe, there's no question that what do you need a Beis Din? If there would be a Allah, you need a Beis Din, so you need a Beis Din. So what do you mean you give the gift in all of an Atzma? What do you mean Eidi Chasim HaKaz? What kind of joke is that? Eidi Chasim HaKaz, you don't need Eidi Masiri, you need more than Eidi Masiri, you need a Beis Din. You need three Dayanim there. We don't want to get too carried away with Raya's from Rabbi Meir, because we all know that Halach Korb Elazar, at least begin. Maybe Shashtar, maybe yeah, maybe no, based on earlier in the week, Shirim. But begin for sure, Halach Korb Elazar, begin. So according to Rabbi Lazar, you can begin to build for. According to Rabbi Lazar, a get does require people to be present. Yeah, but how many people? How many people call Rebbe Elazar? Two. A day receiver, kind of say. You only need two. You don't need three. And it's quite possible that even Rabbi Elazar concedes to Rabbi Meir that Eidei Chassim was also Karsig. If you go the root of the Rif and the Rambam, and even with the Rambam's Razzle Dazzle, Eidei Chassim or Eidei Masir, it's all very nice and dandy. But according to many, many Rishonim, except if you hold like the Balmor and Rabbi Ephraim and the Tosfos and the Pilz Rishonim, but if you hold like all the Chacham Yisvara, the Rif, the Rambam, the Ran, the Ramban, everybody who says that Rabbi Elazar concedes to Rabbi Meir that Eidei Chassim or Karsig, even Ludidon, it's Nitan Le'amer, that a get can be given by Dov and Atzmai. The privacy of their own home, the husband can hand the get to his wife, and she's the gracious man of Torah. As long as they're Eidei Chassim, according to most Rishonim B'Dasra, many Rishonim B'Dasra below. So it is so clear from so many different Mekoros and Shas that there never was a requirement of a Beis Din for a get. It's clear from Agamah, it's clear from Rav Meir, clear from Rav Elazar, it's obvious that there's no requirement. And not only is the obvious from Mekoros and Shas, it's smart, it's true. Meicha takes in a million years. You require a Beis Din. You don't need a Beis Din for every single thing you do. When you make, you put on tefillin, you have to put on tefillin in front of a Beis Din. You do halacha. You give a get, make a taste, you have to give it in front of a Beis Din. And therefore, Agamar makes a lot of sense. That Agamar only entertained the possibility of requiring to a Beis Din because of the unique halacha of the fun after which is Kimshnas. The name of this sugya is. What's the name of the sugya? Get me from the Beis Din. So it sounds like the sugya is over. That's what I thought about, right? Almost. Comes the Or Zeruah, who's the Or Zeruah? What? Maybe it's from where? I don't know where we came from. What? From Vienna, huh? What? Is that where it's from? The Or Zeruah, I think it was from Vienna. So comes the Or Zeruah. Arishan, oh, the Arishan from the Bali Atayis. He was a Rebbe, one of the Rebbeim with Maharam Ruthenberg. So comes the Arzaruah with the following chiddush, almost a bombshell of his gittin. Says the Arzaruah, if you give a get balayla at night, the get is no good. Gets bottled in a Torah, the get's no good. You know why is that the Arzaruah? Because the halacha is that a Beis Din can't function at night. And everybody knows that giving a get is like a din Torah. And therefore, Balayla is no good. You want to talk about Sukkot and Evin. There's no din Balayla. Beis Din at night is command Balayla. And therefore, get that giving Balayla is no good. Adkan Divya or Zeruah. The Truma Sedeshin quotes this or Zeruah and starts to pilpul and what would the halacha be if it's not really dark outside? But the shul they daven ma'ariv already. They daven ma'ariv in the winter, in the summertime. They made it early ma'ariv Friday afternoon. They daven 7 o'clock. The sun's still shining. Can you give ours? There's a whole shtickle Torah based on the truth of this arzaruah. So comes the Beis Yosef and quotes the arzaruah, and the Beis Yosef has this one small comment on the arzaruah. Ma inyan din leget. What's he talking about? What in the world does Beis Din and Din and Lila and Yoyim, what do these things have to do with a get? But you can't get married at night. A new chumri, you can't get married. I got married at night. Can't get married at night. A new halacha. So you can't get a get at night? Why? This is such a halacha, says the Beis Yosef. You never heard of such a thing. L'chor, the Beis Yosef is 100% right. L'chor, the Beis Yosef's sheet is born out from our sugi, from all the rais that we said before. There is no din of Beis Din. What in the world is Yosef talking about? So Rabbi Sai, we have to analyze this machlokes here as a rule in the Beis Yosef. Understand what is the issue. Is there a din of Beis Din? Not a din of Beis Din. Is there a din of Laila? Not a din of Laila. So we have to take a little bit of a step back. And the Chorah, Hamotzi Mechavel of Araya. If you want to create a din of Beis Din, you want to tell me there's a psul of Yom, a psul of Laila, you have, the burden of proof is upon you. Because Svar is shown at first glance, it doesn't seem to be any aspect of din, any aspect of Beis Din, the Chlal. Why would anybody in a million years dream that that Gittin and Beis Din have something in common? There is some kind of a requirement of a Mesa Beis Din for a get. So the Sugi, of course, does not start a Mesa Gittin. It never does. Where does the Sugi begin? It starts in Yivam Zav Kuf Dalet. So we really have to learn the Sugi in Yivam Zav Kuf Dalet very well. It's going to take us a little while to learn through the Sugi properly. after we really, truly, hopefully, understand the sugya and Yevamos Kuf Dalet, then we'll be able to begin to tackle the Machlekes Ta'arzer Rode Beis Yosef, that of course revolves around our sugya and Maseches Gittin. The sugya of Kuf Dalet and Yevamos is really a Mishnah. It's a Machlekes Ta'anoim that appears in the Mishnah Maseches Yevamos about Ilchus Chalitza. We don't know what Chalitza is. So Chalitza says the Mishnah, can a Chalitza be done by Laila or not? What's the law? Chalitza b'layla, k'sheira chalitza b'layla p'sula. So it's a machlekes ha'tanoim. So the Chachamim say chalitza b'layla is k'sheira. You can technically do chalitza b'layla. But Rabbi Elazar poisel. And Rabbi Elazar says no. That a chalitza b'layla is no good. It happens to be most of the Rishonim pass like Rabbi Elazar. Even though normally Rabbi Elazar gets that Chachamim, usually we wouldn't have a Rabbi Charabim, based on the many Amorim seem to bear out the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. So l'maisa, l'maisa, and shalurach, we pass like Rabbi Elazar, you cannot do chalitza, right? But it's a machlekes ha'tanoim. What's the issue, whether you can or cannot do a chalitza b'layla? So comes the Gemara with a startling approach. The Gemara says, this machlekes ha'tanoim revolves around the application of a sugya in the fourth parak of Masechah Sanhedrin, how this sugya applies to Hilchos Chalitza. Fourth parak of Sanhedrin, when we're jumping from Gittin B'Yavamos to Sanhedrin, what sugya is the Gemara referring to? So there is a halacha as follows, that you cannot be dan b'layla. That is true. You can't have a din tar b'layla. That is true. Nevertheless, the Mishnah tells us that Machlekes HaTanoim, we paskin that there is a halacha as follows. Dinei Mominus matchilin bayom v'gomrin balayla. If you have a dintar in Mominus, so as long as you started the case, you had kolos egos, you had a little bit of masa matin, you discussed the case a little bit bayom, and now it's 4:30, shkia. So if you have to say that, sorry, case is over, 4:30, it's shkia, you have to find some chassidish shadayin who's going to still start shkia for another 3 hours. No. Halacha is that gomrin b'layla. As long as you started by yom, you got the bulk of the case under your belt, you started a little bit, you had a chala by yom. So then the final gmardin can be nach shkia, we have to shkia, after tzeis, can be 10 o'clock at night, that's fine, that's okay. Gini mom is matchilim by yom, gomrin b'layla. How do we know there's such a halacha? What is this thing called? To this extent. The Gemara says, there's a steer in Pesukim as to what are the time constraints of a din tayr. So on the one hand, there's a Pesukim Bashi Ksaitse that says, "Bahaya b'yem had chivu is banav." Bahaya b'yem had chivu is banav. It's talking about b'chor, and the Gemara says it's talking about based in Paskin of Shaz of the Chazirusha, who gets what chaylek. So bahaya b'yem had chivu is banav. There's some kind of a din tayr that's taking place. So the Torah says b'yoyim. So the drasha b'yoyim v'lo b'layim. On the other hand, you have a Pesukim Bashi Yisro, which says what? Which for the Gemara. The Pasuk says that you can judge all the time. B'choleis, b'yom, b'layla. B'shaftos am b'choleis. So which one is it? Is there a din of b'yom b'layla, or is there a din b'shaftos am b'choleis? Which one is it? Contradictory. So come to the Gemara and says the answer to this dilemma is that we pass it's a din in HaTorah. Kam l'tchilas din, kam l'soy din. The tchilas din has to be b'yom, that's b'yom l'tchilas banot. But the Pasuk of b'shaftos am b'choleis is going on Gemara din. At can't be a Gemara in the fourth parak of Masechet Sanhedrin. It's Machlekes HaTanoim, but that's how we pass in Halacha. This distinction on the level of the Arayis within Chilas Din encounters the Seif Din. So comes the Gemara in Yevamos and says, oh, that's the issue in the Mishnah in Yevamos. That's the Machlekes HaTanoim between Rav Elazar and Rav Onan, where the Chalitza is a Chilas Din and where the Chalitza is a Gemara Din. If Chalitza is a Chilas Din, then it's Ochim Day, then it's got to be by Yom Vola Balailas. And Rav Elazar is right, Chalitza Balailas Posel. If Chalitza is a Gemar Din, if Chalitza is the halakh equivalent of the Psak Din, the end, the final touches of a Din, so then the Chachamim are right, the Gemar Din is not a Kosher Balayla. That's the Gemara's presentation of the Machlokes. Is Chalitza Tchilas Din, or is Chalitza Gemar Din? Everyone agrees in the Sugya that Tchilas Din requires day, everyone agrees Gemar Din does require day. What is Chalitza? Tchilas Din or Gemar Din? Everyone read the Gemara in Yevamos Kuf Dalet? Anyone have a clue what the Gemara is talking about? You have a clue? What? Anyone has any idea? You have a clue? Yes, let's hear.
Rashi says that
Chalitza is in Yevamos. Oh. So before we can even begin to understand whether Chalitza should be a Tchilas Din or a Gemar Din, there's a much more basic underlying question in the sugya. And what is that? What? Who said it's a din? I mean, the Gemara is assuming that already. We already know. Everyone, when you open up Yevamos Kuf Dalet, nobody bothered to tell you that Chalitza has the status of a din Torah. belongs in Sayyidina Zikin, it belongs in Maseches Sanhedrin. No one ever told you that. You had to figure that out all on your own. It's a din Torah. And now the Tanoim are having a detailed machlokes. What kind of, which aspect of the din Torah is it? At the beginning of the din Torah or the end of the din Torah? I stopped the Gemara and say, wait a second, penalty marker down on the plate. Who said it's a din Torah? What's the din Torah? A din Torah, we don't din Torah. Our din Torah means Reuben comes and says, Shimon owes me $1,000. That din imam is din Fashas means Reuben killed Shimon. We know what din Torah are. We identify, we know what Cheshim Mishpat is. What does Chalitz have to do with din Torah? There's no din Torah. Nebuch, the man died. Nebuch, she requires a chalitza. Nebuch, the guy standing and doing the chalitza. She's spitting in the foot, in the face, and wherever she's spitting. Neither in the foot nor in the face. She's skipping on the floor. What? My Menzel, the Torah. So what are the Tanaim talking about? It's a Chiluz Dinner of mine. It's not a din altogether. So Rashi, Baruch Hashem, comes to the rescue. You don't really view that Rashi. If you think, just for a second, try to learn the Gemara without Rashi. If you want to try that feat, try to learn Rishamni. Read Rishamni. You can't, you're missing the basics. So Rashi was sensitive to this question. Rashi felt bad for all Tamidim, and he realized that someone's going to ask this question. Hey, wait a second. Gemara, what's the Din Torah? So Rashi fills in the piece of the puzzle that Chazal don't say. Rashi says, you know what the Din Torah is? The Ksuba. Did Rashi make things better for us or worse for us? Rabbi Zer, Rashi just said for us is an amazing yisur. Rashi said a chalitza is not a din Torah. The chalitza itself, why was not a din Torah? There's no din Torah. There's no tonin. There's nothing going on. They're not fighting. Rashi says chalitza is not intrinsically a din Torah, but chalitza is about to bring upon a din Torah. You know what din Torah is about to be put into effect? The wheels are turning based on the chalitza. Up until the chalitza, the woman is not entitled to her ksuba. Because if she marries and she does yibum, then she doesn't get the ksuba. She becomes the wife of the next husband. So the chalitza is what gives her the ability now to be tavas, the ksuba, and beis din. So the chalitza is, in a sense, the beginning of the din Torah, or the end of the din Torah, depending on the chalitza itself, we'll see in a moment. So says Rashi, the din aspect of chalitza is not hilchas chalitza. It's not maseches yevamos that creates the din Torah, it's maseches ksubas, which is hanging on to maseches yevamos. That's a Rashi does pshat the Gemara. So now that we've ascertained that chalitza is a din Torah because of the ksuba shiva, so now we can begin to understand what the Tanaim are arguing about. Is it chilas din or is it self din? So everyone's okay with the Gemara now. Now it makes perfect sense. Everything hunky dory, right? Anyone have a clue what the Gemara is talking about now? Now that I told you that piece of information, I gave you the piece of the puzzle that the ksuba is what creates the din Torah. So everyone should be able to explain to me. So what does that do with chilas din or self din? What's the issue? What do you mean tchilas din? Of course it's tchilas din. This is when the ksuba started. I just said that a minute ago. What do you mean self din? What kind of joke is that? What do you mean self din? So comes the Rivan. I don't know who the Rivan was. The Rivan was Rashi's son-in-law. Rashi had a lot of daughters, not only sons. So one of his sons-in-law was the Rivan. The Rivan became famous, besides being Rashi's son-in-law. Which mishnah is he famous in? Makas, he wrote the last two daffim of Rashi's of the sense Makas. Rashi dies in Makas. Rashi dies in Babasa. Rashi dies in another. Rashi dies in Tzachim. He dies a few places. But every place they can't find Rashi, so they Rashi can't make Rashi. So the last two blot of Makas, somehow we got lost. They can't find the no Rashi's. So the Rivan filled in the gaps. The son of law filled in the gaps. So comes the Rivan, quoted in none other than the Ozeruah. Comes to Rivan and says, I'll tell you pshat in the Gemara, and it's not surprising that Rashi learned, he's a good son of the Shemar. So if the Shemar said that the issue in the sugya is the ksuba, so the Rivan went ahead and now explained both shittas, Rabbi Elazar and the Rabbanan, assuming that that's the issue of din in the first place, which Rashi is the only one who told us that, we didn't know that from the Gemara itself. Now Zech Rivan will explain to you what the issue is, whether it's chidas din or whether it's saif din. What's the issue? Says the Rivan, Svari Shana, who's right? Is Rabbi Elazar right or the Chacham right? Is it Tchilas din or is it Tzav din? Sounds like Rabbi Elazar's right. At the moment of the Ksuba, when you take that shoe off, that's when the din Torah of the Ksuba begins. So it sounds like Rabbi Elazar got the upper hand there. Sounds like it's Tchilas din. Sounds like we have a problem with doing a Chalitza of a Laila because of that. How can anybody dream to say that it's Tzav din? Comes to Rivan and says, you know why it's Tzav din? Because we have a Klal Gadol Ruchas Shtaros. I don't know what the Klal is. Shtar ha'oimed Ligvois Kigovli domi. A klal gadol b'din. That when I have a shtar, and the shtar is fit to be collected, it's all ready to be collected. I got the Adam signed on, I got the right, it's an authentic shtar. What I'm holding in my hand is not just the shtar, which gives me the right to collect the money. I got the money ready, in my pocket. I already pocketed the funds. Shtar ha'oimed Ligvois, I got the check that's already written out, I'm on my way to the bank. Shtar ha'oimed Ligvois Kigovli domi. Therefore, says the Rivan, the Chachamim invoked this principle of Shtar Ha'omid Ligvois Kigovi Domi and says, this is not a Tchila Sadeh in the Ksuba. This is a done deal. The second that shoe comes off the foot, this is not the beginning of the Sikhsuch, the beginning of the fight of the Ksuba, it is the end of the fight already. This is already the Gemara Din. And since it's the Gemara Din in the Ksuba, therefore the Halacha tells us, Shtar Ha'omid Ligvois Kigovi Domi tells us that the shtar is kigavui, tells us that this is the seif adin. If it's a seif adin, what's the halacha? Seif adin can be when? Can be belayla. And therefore the chacham say chalitza belayla is kosher. Would anyone in a million years have ever thought that was the issue? If I would have asked you 20 minutes ago, why should a chalitza be kosher belayla, why should it not be kosher belayla? I couldn't in a million years figure it out. The last thing I would have thought is that it has anything to do with shtar other than kigavui. The Rivan says that's exactly what it has to do with. That according to Rabbi Lazar, it's called a Tchila Sadin, and therefore it's possible of a Laila, because that's where the Sifsuch is starting. And the Chacham invoked the Din of Shtar Ha'omid Ligvois Kigovli Domi to label it as Sof Din, and therefore we have a right to be Mekel that it's Kashim Ha'Laila. At Kan Divrei HaRivan. Beautiful pshat. He followed the footsteps of his father-in-law. Rashi spotted the ball rolling, and he completed it. It's Gevaldik, right? You don't have any problems with Rivan's pshat?
You don't pass
it. Well, you have to confuse things with some technical issue like that. We don't pass it. Of course, that's a big problem. What do you mean we don't pass it like that?
It's Bishamah.
Gevaldik. Shtar Ha'omid Ligvois Kigovli Domi is a machlekes atanoim. It's a machlekes Bishamah Bisila. Is there such a principle, Shtar Ha'omid Ligvois Kigovli Domi? Anyone know where that sugi originally appears? We talk about it to see a Shtar Ha'omid Ligvois Kigovli Domi. We didn't talk about it. Shtar Ha'omid Ligvois Kigovli Domi is a Mishnah in Maseches Sota. The Mishnah has the following machlekes. We know if a woman becomes a sota, once she has kini and stira, now she's a suffix whether she's a surah to her husband. So the Torah says she can't be with her husband, also of course a suffix without her. The nitma, she's now a surah to her husband. So they're going to the Beis Hamikdash, they're on the way to Yerushalayim to go mashkel the Mei Sota, to be mevar the suffix. What happens? Nebuch, the husband dies. Husband dies on the way before they revive the suffix. The din is behavior ish as ishtar rachamah. If the husband's not alive, she can't drink the water. The water will be all proven if the husband's no longer alive. So now we have a suffix that was never misbarer. We never know whether the woman was mazal or not. There's no way of ever knowing up the halacha. And therefore we're stuck. What do you do? What do you do? The husband's dead anyway. Might have to commit. Does she get the ksuba? If she was mazana, so ish ish as in, so loses her rights at the ksuba. If she wasn't mazana, so then she's entitled to her ksuba. So what's the din? So it's a suffix. What do you do when you have a suffix? Hamotz mechaveira levaraya. Who's the motz and who's the chaveira? Who's the muksach and a shtar? She has a shtar in her hand which says that her husband owes her 200 zuz. And we have a latest a suffix whether the shtar is kosher or not. Whether the shtar is really have to collect. So come to Shami and say, she's entitled to collect. The Yerushim have to prove that she was Mazana. Obviously they can't do that. So maybe she's going to get the money. The Shami say, as the Gemara explains in Sota, shtar ha'oimid ligvois ki yomid. Where's that Gemara? Chavav in Sota, is that where it is? Yes, so around there, give or take a few dachim. What? Chavei? That's for a few dachim. Fair enough. Okay. Chavei. Shtar ha'omid ligvois kigovli domi, that's Bishama Shita. She's the muksah. Basil will say, Mapitom. Shtar ha'omid ligvois lav kigovli domi. He's the muksah. The Yerushim are the muksah. And therefore, she doesn't get excused from yourself. So according to the Rivan, it's so bizarre, it's so strange. That issue that in Sota was a machlekes b'shami and b'shilel is now a machlekes in Rabbanon and Rabbi Elazar and Yevonos? Maybe. I mean, it could be. You could say that. That's what we do paskin like Rabbi Elazar. So we paskin that as well. We paskin that it's b'chilos there. So we paskin lavke gavli. So we paskin like b'shilel. So it could be. Doesn't sound right. The Gemara should have somehow related the two sugyas. You have a sugya in Yevamos that ultimately boils down to Shtar Ha'omid Ligvois Kigovli Domi. And that's really Machlokes B'sham B'zil. The Gemara should have somehow told us this. The Rivan's pshat is, it's fascinating, but somehow it doesn't seem to fit into other sugyas. So we have an issue with the Rivan's pshat. I have a second issue with the Ribbono's Pshat. There's something else that's bothering me greatly about the Ribbono's Pshat. Rabbi Sarai, this Gemara Masechta Sefer Hezer, the fourth parak. V'hoi b'yam l'chilu esbonov, v'shof tos omu chaleis. Kan t'chilu din, kan t'gmar din. Kach nemer aloch mosh v'sina, you can have a t'chilu din. As long as the t'chilu din is by yoyim, the gmar din can be by laiva. How do you understand that aloch? What kind of aloch is that? That t'chilu din, as long as it starts by yoyim, the gmar din is kosher by laiva. Does that make any sense to you? What's the nature of that halacha? The Gemara din is balan. Should we say, one could raise the following hakira, should we say, Gemara din balayla means anything that's labeled in the halacha as Gemara din doesn't require yoyim. That's the halacha. That requirement of yoyim was only set on chilas din, it was never set on Gemara din. Gemara din never requires yoyim. What's pshat now? Pshat that whatever is halachically labeled as Gemara din doesn't need yoyim. My din is no less important than Chilas Din. It's more important than Chilas Din. It's like Moshe Lamad Deva Domeh. This is Taisus and Brachas. Famous Taisus and Brachas in the first paragraph. That's what I'm talking about. What? A Bilam. Gemara says that Akash Baruch was angry for one split iota of a second every day. And Bilam knew how to be Mechaber and Sashah. So Taisus asks, what could he possibly have said in that one split second? What word could he have said? So Taisus gives two answers. So one answer Taisus says, he could have said one word, Kaleim! Split second. Kaleim! And that's what Taisus says, that's why the bracha was nefach to be melech, she was melech for. We spoke about that once before, Shoshana, you know, Chikot Torah. I forgot what we said something about it once. But that's not the famous verse in Taisus. What's the famous verse in Taisus?
Once it starts.
Once you start the klala, you can keep on rolling. As long as you got it in before the buzzer, once it starts, then you can, whoa, you can do whatever you want, you can add on. So the Yeruch HaShulchan quotes this Taisus, La'alacha, Nun Hilchos Tefillah.
Once you start
Shemoneh Esrei, so you start davening a minute before Shkia, you can keep on going for the next 3 hours. Doesn't matter. Yeruch HaShulchan. I'll just bust me say this. You're a raya from Bilam. Bilam's chesidah shei davening after Shkia. What's going to be a raya from Bilam? But Yeruch HaShulchan says that. So could that be, even though there was tefillah that may or may not be applicable, but is that the concept? Is that the basic rationale? This halacha that the imam does not chilma yom v'yom b'layla. The pshat is not that Gemar Din doesn't need yom. Of course, Din Torah need yom. Of course, you need yom. It's just that if you started by yom, so the Gemar is nimshach achras cholam. As long as you started, so then you can, you know, you slip the grandfather into the case. You started off, so okay, we'll flip the other way. The Gemar Din is also good enough. Manaf Kamina. Sounds like some semantics. Manaf Kamina, would we say that the Gemar Din doesn't need yom? Or we say that the Gemara Din really does need yom, it's just that it was subsumed under the Tchilas Din. Like you may not give me that. What if you have a Gemara Din without a Tchilas Din? That sounds like a bizarre statement. Me a Gemara Din without it. Isn't that a stupid thing, okay? What if you have a Gemara Din without a Tchilas Din? What I mean is like this. What if you have something which Api Din is a Gemara Din, but there never was a Tchilas Din by yom? What would that look like? Anyone know a good example of that? Chalitza. If you hold that shtar amalubas kigavidam, the chachamim shita, what the Rivan is claiming is shita sechachamim, that shtar amalubas kigavidam, what that means is that chalitza pidin is a gemar din. It also happens to be a what? It's a tchilas din kind of hold. I mean, there was no tchilas din by yom. Nothing happened by yom. The yom and yivam will walk at the base at 10 o'clock at night, right before Meir. They're ready to do the chalitza right now. Nothing happened before. There never was a tchilas din by yom. So Kup the Rivan and says, according to the Chachamim, Api Din, it's called a Gemar Din, and therefore it's Kosher Balayla. That's fine and dandy to say that it's called a Gemar Din, but does that translate to mean that it's Kosher Balayla? There was no Tchilus Din by Yom. So clearly the Rivan is understanding that halacha, that Dinei Torah, Matchil by Yom, Gemar Balayla, is not like the Yeruch HaShulchan's Bilam story. It's not because the Gemar Din is Nimshach Achar Tchilus Yom, Achar Tchilus Din. But rather, the halacha is kachnim rehalacha, that Gemar Din doesn't require yom. Whatever api halacha is called Gemar Din, there's a question, it's kashas on the Rebbe Shalom. The Rebbe Shalom said, Tchilas Din requires yom, Gemar Din doesn't require yom. You decide, you figure out what's called Tchilas, what's called Tzov. Rabbi Lazar looked, I'm sorry, the Rabbanan looked at the Chalitza and said, what is Chalitza? Is it Tchilas Din or is it a Gemar Din? And the only conclusion they can come to is that it's a Gemar Din, because after all, Shnara believes it's a Gemar Din, we believe in Meshamah. So Shtar Al-Madu was a Gemar Din, so therefore it's kosher, Balayla. Ah, but there was no tchivas din bayom. Who cares? Well, echpatli, there was no tchivas din bayom. Because the nature of the halacha of tchivas bayom and rama laila is not a hemshech pshat, but rather, whatever al pi din is called the gemara din is kosher bayom. Kosher balayla. That's interesting. The Chiddush Iran in the beginning of the third paragraph of Rosh Hashanah does not say that. The Chiddush Iran in the beginning of the third paragraph of Rosh Hashanah says, the reason why the halacha is gemara din is kosher balayla, is since you started by Yom, the Gemara did is Nimshach Achar HaSchola against this Rivan. Okay, this Rivan's Rishas. A lot of disagree with the Chiddush Iran. It became before the Chiddush Iran. That's fine. But when you read this Rivan, when you analyze the Gemara Yavam is following the footsteps of the Rivan, who seems to be following the footsteps of his father on Rashi, if that's the Pshat, the Bira Dov is based on the Suba, if that's what's going on in the Sugya, so then you're going to be opening yourself up for a few interesting auras. You're bringing Beshah and Beis Hillel into the mix. You're taking a stand against the Chiddush Iran or Rosh Hashanah, which you're entitled to, about the nature of the din, the Tchilas Pe Din and Gemara Din. Okay, there are a lot of interesting Chiddushim that are emanating from this Pshat of the Rivan. Rabbi Sai, is there an alternate Pshat of the Gemara? Is there another way to make sense out of the Gemara Ksuba stuff with Dalit? We have to go back to the ABCs of the Sugya. The ABCs of the Sugya was the basic question and the premise of the entire sugya is that chalitza is a din. Who said chalitza is a din? So Rashi went fishing. Rashi went was looking, groping in the dark. Why is chalitza a din? And he dug up the ksuba. Do you have to go to the of Rashi? Is there perhaps another approach? Why is the chalitza a din, Rabbi Sai? Any other reasons? Ma'inyan chalitza eitzel din? What makes us believe that chalitza belongs to the parish of Dayanim? Yeah, don't you need dayanim for a chalitza? Isn't there halacha? The chalitza has to be done in front of 3 dayanim, 5 dayanim, or 9, first mishnah, 12 paragraph of Yeromis. Mitzvah chalitza v'shloisha. How did Chazal know that they have to be dayanim and chalitza? Because it says in the Chumash, v'niksha yivimto ha-sha'ara le'eni ha-zakenim. What does ha-sha'ara le'eni ha-zakenim always mean? Yom yoshe, yoshe v'sha'as dom, little Chumash, guys. Chumash, pas ha-shavua. Look, your shame is shas gom. You can't shame a new shayf in the lamb, I say, yon. So come Chazal, in the beginning of the Torah, and the Rambam says, of course, you require dayonim. The Gemara, even as a havanim, he requires smuchim for a chalitza. Baruch Hashem, the Allah is not that way. The Gemara concludes that it's not true. There is no din of smuchim. The Ochan, there is no din of smuchim. We have to fall back on Shulchan Sa'ay or something. We have all kinds of tzaras. If the Allah would require smuchim. But we don't require smuchim. So look over the simple pshat in the Gemara is ksuba mandocha shmei who mentioned ksubas. Well, then yivam is not ksubas. The reason why there's an issue of din by chalitza is because chalitza is a din. The very essence of chalitza is something which is, in a sense, a quote-unquote din Torah. You know, the term din Torah doesn't always conjure up the image of two people fighting with one another. You can have a requirement for beis din even though nobody's fighting. What's another example? Where the halacha requires a beis din, requires it's a din, and there's nobody fighting. Hatar's Bedarim, Kiddush HaChodesh, Geirus. There are a lot of halachas that require a Beis Din. Egla Rufa, a lot of things that require a Beis Din that don't conjure up the image of a Din Torah. We're not punishing anybody, we're not fighting anybody, there's no Bali Din, there's no Chai, there's no Plunder. There are halachas that Beis Din is called in to administer. You know, we think, because we grew up in America, so we're convinced by balance of power, checks and balances, so we think the judges, that's a judicial area. They have no other say in any other area. So that's in halakha, that's not true. The Sanhedrin is both a legislative and a judicial. Right? Civics 101. So Beis Din can be called in to do things which don't involve the Din Torah. There's no fighting. And still, Beis Din has an role to play. So, who advances this pshat? Who suggests this pshat? None other than the Ur Zarua. The Ur Zarua himself quotes the Rivan, who says, following the footsteps of his father-in-law Rashi, that the issue of Din Torah in Kuftal and Yevamos was the Ksuba. And the Ur Zarua says, what do you mean the Ksuba for? That's Musa, what's a Din Torah? It's not a quote of Din Torah. That's Musa, what's a Din? That's Musa, what needs a Beis Din? Of course, Chalitza needs a Beis Din. The first mission in the 12th paragraph of Yevamos says a Beis Din is necessary for Chalitza. So now that we know, says the Ur Zarua, that a Beis Din is necessary, that a Chalitza has the status of a Din, Now let's analyze, should it be Tchilas Din or should it be Stumar Din? So now you can't revoke the Rivan. It's irrelevant because it's not a Ksuba issue. Now it becomes a little trickier. Is it Tchilas Din or is it Sof Din? What do you think? What should it be? But what is the Chalitza accomplishing, Rabbi Yisrael? Forget about the Ksuba because that's irrelevant. What is the Chalitza accomplishing? It's being Matir, a woman, to get married. Right? That's what's happening. Before the Chalitza, she was a Surah, and now she's Muteris. Is that a Chilu or is that a Sof?
Both.
Sof of what? Now we got some heavy duty of other slums to talk about. One could argue that it's a Tchila, or one could argue that it's a Sof. I'll tell you why it's a Tchila. You know why it's a Tchila? Beforehand, you had a woman who was a Surah. She was asurely nasa. It's an isadir aisa. You get married this woman, you do chalitza, you went from asur to mutter, so you started off, you started the ball rolling. It's a tchilas din. Not bad. One can argue, no. It's a gemara din. You know why? This woman already has one foot out the door in being muteris. What do I mean by that? 6 months ago, Nebuch, when her husband died, so the hit already started. When the husband was alive, what was she? She was an Eishes Ish, with an Issa Vlos Sinaf, with an Issa Chenek, with an Issa Mamash, and Mrs. Beis Din. The husband died. What happened? The Issa started to disappear, started to peel away. She's not an Eishes Ish anymore. She's not Muteris yet. She's a Yevam L'Shuk. Yevam L'Shuk is a watered down Issa of Eishes Ish. It's a less degree Issa of Eishes Ish. The Eishes Ish is already on the way out. It's 1 foot out the door. And what's the Gemar Hadavar? What finishes off the heter? The chalitza. The chalitza takes over where the misa began. One could create this construct in one's mind that a chalitza is not the beginning of the process. Chalitza is the end of the process. Chalitza is the gemar of the misa sabaal. Whoa, that's quite a heavy duty hakira. So guess what? Who was arguing about that hakira? Says the Ozerul. That was a machlekes hatanoim. We think hakira started in Be'achronim. This hakira was a machlekes hatanoim between Rabbi Loza and the Rabbanan. That's exactly what the Ozeru says. The Rabbanan wrote the opinion that a chalitza balayla, that's okay. It's no problem, a chalitza balayla. That's tantamount to a want, to a gemar din balayla. Because chalitza is a gemar din. It's the gemar, the heter, the isha. The Heter Isha began with Misa Baal 6 months ago. And the Rabbanon, I'm sorry, what did I say? I said the wrong person? Who does it? I said the Rabbanon person. Comes Rabbi Elazar and says, nothing doing. Comes Rabbi Elazar and says, a chalitza, balayl chas v'shalom, chalitza malayl tchila sadin. You know what tchila sadin? You take a woman who was a surah, you're asking if she's muteras, that's tchila sadin. There was a Misa Baal, my name is Misa Baal. We're not talking about the Issa Reishis Ish. That's long gone. When the husband died, the Issa Reishis Ish is off. This is a new Issa, a new brand new Issa called Yivam L'Shuk. So this is the first attack on the Issa of Yivam L'Shuk. This is the first addressing the issue of a Yivam L'Shuk. This is the Pchilas Din. Pchilas Din. Pchilas Din says, Rabbi Elazar, has to be Bayom. Cannot be Balayla. Rabbi Yisai, according to the Azaruah's beer, this new Mahalach, nothing to do with Rivans and Rashis and Ksubas, but it's a Yavamasug, it's not a Ksubasug, it's a Yavamasug. What is really the Nekudas and Machlekes? This is a basic fundamental question which permeates the entire Masechus Yavamas. What is the nature of the Isra of Yavam L'Shuk? Fundamental Chakira, what is the nature of the Isra of Yavam L'Shuk? Is Yavam L'Shuk a continuation of the Ishus of the first husband? Normally the halacha is Misa Baal is not, the first Mishnah Kiddushin, Misa Baal is not, it is Yesh Ish. So here the Torah says, this Misa Baal, Mokum Yibum, is not Matir Lagamri, it's Matir partially, it's the stakes are a little bit lower, it's not there's a Misa anymore, it's only a lot, but fundamentally the Ikaron, the Israel of Yesh Tameis HaChutz L'Rizar, is because she's still Yesh Tameis. Listen to the words of the Pasuk, Losia Yesh Tameis, she's still the Yesh Tameis. Chalitza is the only thing that can break those bonds and issues. What do you say now? The bonds of issues are gone. There's a new issa that was just chal on her. Brand new issa, yesh me'ayim. There's nothing to do with the issues of the first husband. It's a new issue called Mosia Eishes Hameis. What does Eishes Hameis here mean? Means the woman who used to be the Eishes Hameis. The Torah is identifying who is the woman. Who are we talking about? The woman who used to be the Eishes Hameis. But right now the Meis is gone. There's no Eishes Hameis. So that touch, that nuance of how to reach Pshat in the Pasuk, Mosia Eishes Hameis, is it talking about she's still the Eishes Hameis or she was the Eishes Hameis? That opens up our eyes to a fundamental hakira in Maseches Yevamos, but the nature of the relationship between the Issa Reishas Ish that existed B'chai HaBaal and the Issa Yevamos Shuk that exists B'Yacham Issa HaBaal. And ultimately that's going to impact upon how we view Chalitzas, Chalitza Tchilas Din and Lidasayiv Din. And that's true for the Machlekes HaTanoim. That's quite a pshat. Well, very different from the Rivon of Rashi. That's quite a pshat. According to Rabbi Elazar, it's Tchilas Din. According to Rabbanan, it's Gemar Din. Let me ask you a question. According to Rabbi Elazar, if Tchilas Din, and here's Ochen Vey, it's got to be Bayon, below Balayla. What's bothering me? According to Rabbi Elazar, everything is starting now. Nothing would ever happen before is irrelevant. Starting now. What's about to bother me, everybody say? It's what? It's ending now also. It's all a one shot. It's chila v'sof v'asachas. When that shoe comes off the foot, that's the chila and the self. So I don't understand Rabbi Elazar. Why does Rabbi Elazar say it's no good? Why doesn't Rabbi Elazar say it should be good anyway? Even though it is a chila, because it's a gemara also. Let it be good, but Torah's gemara din. Isn't it Chalam the Din Gemara Din also? And Gemara Din is Kasha Bayon, Kasha Balayla? What's the answer, Rabbi Say? I'm going to go Zerua. The Chiddush Aran. There was no Tchila Bayon. According to the Arzarua's Pshat, it is Muchach from Rabbi Elazar. Gemara Din is not independently Kasha Balayla. Gemara Din is only Kasha Balayla if and when there was a Tchila Bayon, since then there was no Tchila Bayon. The Misa Baal is not a Tchila according to Balazar's formulation of Yivam Lashon. Therefore, it's a Gemar Din and a Tchilas Din all rolled into one. That's not going to help us. That's not going to solve our Yom and Lila problems. So Rabbi Sai, as an aside, we just gained something very interesting about the Gemara Maseches Sanhedrin. We have a Din Sanhedrin. Everyone agrees to that. Din and Mamas, but Chilim B'Yom and Gorm B'Lila. We had a Chakir. What's the nature of that Din? Is there a Din that a Gemar Din is crushing B'Lila? Or is it a Din that as long as you started B'Yom, then you can put the finishing touches B'Lila? Because the Gemar Din is Nimshach Achad Tchilas. So we had a Chakira. We dug up a Chiddush Aran. Rabbi said, we now have two other Rishonim who are weighing in on this issue. The Rivon's Pshat in the Gemara forced him to disagree with the Chiddush Aran based on the Rabbanan's understanding of Shtar Melivas. And the Arzarua's Pshat, the Das Rabbi Elazar, forced him to concede to the Chiddush Aran. Everyone with us? Everyone follow that Akuda? That we just gained mum or something, in a million years, I would have told you, when you learned Sanhedrin in the fourth parak, you raise a chakir, what's the nature of the din, the relationship between Chizdin and Sof, and I would have told you that it's totally on a machlekes, the Rivonah, the Arzarua, and Yavam is Kuf Dalad, you would have thought I was crazy. You may still think I'm crazy, but I'm telling you, that's what's totally on. It's totally on this machlekes that we're showing him, which is the underlying question, what is the din? What is unclear about the sugi, which makes this sugi so perplexing in Yevamos Kuntal, is that the Gemara never tells us what the din is. The Gemara Topos is the Tchilo, is the Gemara, but never tells us the ABC is what's the din. It's a Rashi and Rivon Kid Islahu. It's based on the Ksuba with their whole razzle dazzle shot of Shtar Libros with all the problems thereof. And there's a rule, totally different shot. It's based on the Etzem Achalitza with its own razzle dazzle issues. It opens up whole new approaches for us in Maseches Yevamos. So we have two fundamentally different approaches in the Rishonim to Yevamos Kuf Dalet. We haven't even begun to tackle Gittin Daf Yamei Beis yet. Now that we have these two different approaches, now we're at least one step closer. Now that we think we know, or at least we have Machlokes and Rishonim, what the Din of Chalitza is, then of course the next question has to be, how does any of this matter in terms of Chos Gittin? Which aspects of this Din of Chalitza do carry over to Gittin and which don't? Which will shed some light on, you know, as a rule of the Beis Yosef, how do we try to make one of the more things?